Today's message deals actually with two things. It's from the Torah portion that's from today, which is called Bahar, which is on the mount or on the mountain. And it covers two things. One is the Shemitah, which is a year of release, and it covers the Yovel, or the year of Jubilee. Isn't it amazing? I found a picture that had both of these in there. I did one of these Shanika things. That's a graphic. I put them together. Yeah, graphic crunch. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we want to give you all the glory, give you all the honor, all the praise, all the worship, and all the majesty. You are worthy to be praised. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you, Lord, for you are my rock, you are my redeemer, you are my ever-present help in time of trouble. So give us all understanding minds. Allow us to be able to listen intently to your word, that it would travel to the very depths of our heart and produce fruit for your kingdom. And we want to thank you and give you all glory and honor in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from Leviticus 25, starting at verse 8. And it's been requested that I start putting the scriptures up that I'm doing, or that I'm sharing, so that the scripture will be up there, the entire scripture, not just the reference to it. Now, would that be helpful if I did that to everyone? You had the scripture up there? You would like that? Some of you? Some? Awesome. Some of you don't care one way or the other, right? Okay. All right. In Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8 through verse 10, it says the following. You are to count 7 Shabbats of years. 7 times 7 years. That is 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a blast of the shofar. You are to sound the shofar all through your land. And you are to consecrate the 50th year, proclaiming freedom throughout the land to all the inhabitants. It will be a yovel. That's the Hebrew for you. That's a jubilee we translate. It will be a yovel for you. You will return everyone to the land he owns, and everyone is to return to his family. Now the Shemitah year occurred every 7th year. In other words, it was a sabbatical year. Every 7 years is a year of rest. During this time, the land was to remain fallow, or it was released. All agricultural activity, including plowing and planting and pruning and harvesting, was strictly forbidden. Then after every 7th Shemitah, after every 7th year of release, or every 7th Shemitah, the 50th year was to be sanctified as a Yovel, or a Jubilee, a very holy year. And on the 10th day of Tishri, on Yom Kippur, of that Yovel, of that Jubilee year, God commanded the ram's horn, that Yovel, to be blown throughout the land. Actually, the ram's horn, Yovel, actually means ram horn. Now, let me tell you the sad part of this whole story. The sad part is that the nation of Israel failed to fulfill the Shemitah, giving the land a rest every 7 years, and the Yovel, that Jubilee, every 50th year, from the very beginning, they failed to do it. They didn't do it at all. And listen to what Jeremiah, the prophet, says. In chapter 34, and he just hits the the nail right on the head here in Jeremiah 34, starting in verse 13. And this is what he says. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I made a covenant with your forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I said to them, every seventh year, each of you must free any fellow Hebrew who has been sold or who sold himself to you. After he has served you 6 years, you must let him go free. Your fathers, however, did not listen to me or pay attention to me. Now, isn't that sad that God said that you didn't listen to me? You didn't pay attention to me? You just ignored me totally? And he says, recently you repented and you did what was right in my sight. Each of you proclaimed freedom to his countrymen. You even made a covenant before me in the house that bears my name, or the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. But now you have turned around and you have profaned my name. Each of you has taken back the male and the female slaves that you had set free to go where they wished. You have forced them to become your slaves again. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Uh-oh. You have not obeyed me. You have not proclaimed Shemitah, or freedom, for your fellow countrymen. So now I proclaim Shemitah, freedom for you, declares the Lord. Shemitah, freedom to fall by the sword. Shemitah, freedom to fall by the plague. Shemitah, freedom to fall by famine. I will make you aberrant to all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to have the freedom to do terrible things to me because of my disobedience. Now, is anyone here would say, yeah, I love God to judge me and punish me. You know, he's got all the freedom to do that. Would anyone say that? No, of course not. But God was making a point here. You did not follow the commandments, the Shemitah, to free your slaves. So now I'm going to make you a slave. And I'm going to have the freedom to send you to any other nation as slaves. And I'm going to have the freedom to put plagues upon your land. And I'm going to have the freedom to bring famine upon you because you disobeyed. Now, God warned what he would do in response to their disobedience. In Leviticus chapter 26, starting at verse 33, listen what he says here. Leviticus 26, 33, he says, I will scatter you among the nations, and will draw out my sword, and I will pursue you. Your land will be laid waste, and your cities will lie in ruins. Then the land will enjoy its Shemitah, its sabbatical years, all the time that it lies desolate, and you are in the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Shemitah, its Shabbats. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, that's when Nebuchadnezzar and his armies, they went into Israel and they took the Israelites and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and they all carried them to Babylon, and they were 70 years there captive. That 70 years of that Babylonian captivity was punishment for the 70 Shabbat years that Israel missed from the time that they entered the land to the destruction of the first temple. In other words, when they entered the land till the time the temple was destroyed was 490 years, and they failed to keep those 70 Shemitah years, those 70 Shabbat years. So if we all good on math, what is 70 times 7? 490. They failed to keep that year of release as God commanded them for 70 times. 70 times 7, 490 years. So because of that, failing to keep those 70 Shabbat years, they were sent for 70 years as captives into Babylon. During that captivity, God caused the land to receive its rest for all those years, remaining desolate for 70 years. Now, not fulfilling the Shemitah and the Yovel, the Jubilee, was a symptom of Israel's diseased spiritual condition. Now, the sign of the covenant, the Torah, became a curse to them. This is the reason that Messiah Yeshua had to come. He had to come to renew that covenant that Israel had broken. God didn't break it. Israel had broken. But God was going to renew that covenant, but now on better terms. Reverting of the Torah back to its original intention. That is, that it would be a blessing to the people and not a curse to them because of their disobedience. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. It says this, Hebrews 8, 6 through 8. But the ministry that Yeshua has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is the mediator is superior to the old one. And it is founded on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people, and he said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is where we get our Brit Chadashah, the new covenant that we talk about all the time. And in fact, this scripture, I remember when we were first getting our Torah in our congregation in El Paso. And we were going to build an ark. We actually built a beautiful ark for it. And we were trying to figure out what we should put on the ark, what we should write. So on the bottom portion of it, we sought the counsel of Rachmiel Friedland, who was one of the Messianic grandfathers in the movement. He had been through the Holocaust. His family had been destroyed. He was considered one of the great leaders in the Messianic movement. And we had asked him, what do you recommend that we write in Hebrew on the bottom of the ark, on a big open area on it? And he said this verse from Hebrews chapter 8, which is also the same scripture from Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah 33. And he said, put this, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And that's what we inscribe in Hebrew on the bottom of the ark to proclaim that God has made his new covenant with us, his people. Now, there is a relationship between Israel correctly following God in faith, the people of Israel being in their land, and the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, standing in Jerusalem. Now, two of these are only in partial fulfillment today. That is that we have a remnant of faith in Israel, a remnant of believers in Israel, and some of those being in the land. That's the two, a remnant of faith and some being in the land. But the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, is completely missing. The Tikkun Olam, the restoration and the unification of the upper and the lower worlds, can only occur when all these three pillars are back in place. And this will happen in the millennium when the Beit HaMikdash, that temple, and the sacrificial system are restored. And what is needed for sacrifice? Priesthood, redemption of Israel's firstborn, lost during the sin of the golden calf, and accomplished through Yeshua's death and the physical possession of the land. Now the Shemitah and the Yovel, the Jubilee years, were significant for different reasons. Shemitah was what would God use to keep time. He used that to keep time, the 7 years. Whereas Yovel, Jubilee, is more directly associated with the end of a time period and the Olam Haba, the world to come. Now the Shemitah can be seen as a time-tracking mechanism in Daniel's famous prophecy about the Messiah. And if you don't know this scripture, if you're not familiar with this scripture from Daniel, it's one of the most important scriptures that point to when the Messiah would actually come. In fact, this has led Jewish people to the Messiah as they have found out that this scripture precisely predicted when the Messiah would come. And by the way, he had to come before the destruction of the second temple, which we know that Yeshua did come before that destruction. In Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 20, I'm going to read through verse 27, it says this: "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, for Jerusalem, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, he came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and he said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding.'" Do you know that when we pray and seek the Lord, that he will do the same for us? That he will give us insight and understanding? I'm sure some of you would like that, wouldn't you? That's why it's important to pray and seek the Lord. "I, Daniel, have come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77's transgression to put an end to sin, to atone for weakness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this: from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One." And who is the Anointed One? The Messiah. That's what Messiah means, Anointed One. "From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem," that was from Cyrus, "until the Anointed One, the ruler, until he comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble, and after 62 sevens, the Anointed One, the Messiah, will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary," that is the temple. "The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 7 years. In the middle of the 7 years, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing, of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him." Now in this above prophecy from Daniel, Daniel calculates here the time of Messiah's arrival in terms of weeks. Both the language here and the context indicates that these weeks are actually groups of 7 years and not days, which is the Shemitah cycle. That's how the Shemitah is playing in here. The 70th and the final Shemitah cycle associated with the events in the book of Revelation and in Matthew 24 and other scriptures hangs mysteriously in the future. That Yovel, that Jubilee year, is the culmination of everything achieved in the 49 years leading up to it. Similar to the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost, which follows the 49 days of the counting of the Omer, which we're doing again. There's this cycle that we're following it, but this cycle is teaching us. It has announced to us when the Messiah would come, and it announced to us when the Messiah would die, and it announced to us about the 7-year period of the tribulation and all the events that's happening and all that's spoken in Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation and other scriptures in regard to that. The Yovel, the Jubilee, is also called the Year of Freedom. Now Shavuot that we're coming to is significant in both the Tanakh, the First Covenant, and the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant. At Sinai, the people were gathered in God's designated place. They heard the voice of God, each one of them, it says, in their own language, of which there were many. And 3,000 were killed that day because of their lack of faith. Judaism also teaches that God's word proceeded as tongues of fire. We see that in the Talmud even, which is just the writings of our rabbis. It says in Talmud Shabbat 88b that the school of rabbis, the school of Rabbi Ishmael taught, "Behold, my word is like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces," quoting Jeremiah 23:29. "Just as a hammer is divided into many sparks, so every single word that went forth from the Holy One, blessed be He, split up into 70 languages." Again, in the Targum of Pseudo Jonathan, that speaks about Exodus 20:18, it says that the word that went out from the mouth of the Holy One, may His name be blessed, was like the shooting stars and lightning and like flames and torches of fire. Now the things that are spoken of here really bring us into Acts chapter 2 here. Conversely, in the book of Acts, the Jews were again gathered in God's designated place, His Beit HaMikdash, His temple. And again they hear the apostles in their own languages. As we just read, tongues of fire again appear. And this time the same number, 3,000, are saved through faith instead of dying for unbelief. This shows that Shavuot was not the beginning of some new religion, that is, the church, to replace the faith of Israel, which would contradict God's own word. Rather, it was a direct confirmation of the faith of Israel and its long-awaited Messiah by God. His indicating which way the faith of Israel was to continue. God makes it quite clear that the new covenant is not new in the sense that it's replacing the old one. We're not replacing the Torah. We're not replacing the old covenant at all. It's a renewal of the same covenant, that being the Torah-based faith of Israel. Only on better terms here, as it says in Jeremiah 31 and in Hebrews 8:6, which I just read. And it takes place in the millennium. As of now, it's still in the process of fading away, as it says in Hebrews 8:13. The law written on the hearts of the people is not a new law, but the same Torah. It hasn't changed. In Luke, we see the Talmudim, we see the disciples of John coming to Yeshua and asking Him if He is the one that they have been awaiting. And note carefully here, John's reply. In Luke 7:22, he says, "So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back, and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor.'" Here Yeshua does not give just a simple, direct answer. In fact, you could say that it's somewhat of a coded message here, meant for John's understanding. Yeshua's words are reiterating the things that the Messiah was prophesied or forecast to do in the book of Isaiah, the Jubilee release, with one important difference. Nowhere does Isaiah, in his descriptions of the Jubilee release, say that the Messiah will raise the dead. Nowhere does he say that. However, in the Isaiah scroll that was found in Qumran at the Dead Sea, or the Dead Sea Scrolls, in that scroll of Isaiah, they found it includes the raising of the dead, that resurrection reference there. As John's origins were from that Qumran community, the Dead Sea area, in the wilderness, John would have understood very clearly Yeshua's response as an affirmative one, telling him, "I am the Messiah, come to initiate that Jubilee release." And Yeshua has come to initiate that Jubilee release. And what is that release? It says in Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom, liberty, that is Jubilee, for the captives, and release, Shemitah, from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." The Lord God, He promised freedom and release for the children of Israel after seven Shemitah years, as that Yovel, as that ram's horn was sounded. He also promised us, you and I, freedom and release after seven Shemitah weeks leading up to Shavuot, which we're now counting, seven Shemitah weeks. As we continue the 49 days of the counting of the Omer, leading up to Shavuot, just in 2 weeks from now, God is telling us, are you ready to be set free? Are you ready to be released, Shemitah? Are you ready for freedom? Are you ready to hear that ram's horn blown, proclaiming freedom and release in your life from your captivity? Now, all of us are captive to one thing or another. Some of us are captive to various sins in our life. There are those who have problems with alcohol, drinking. There are those who have problems with drugs, either illicit or prescription drugs. There are those of us who may have trouble with immorality, lust, adultery, pornography. Those of us who have problems in areas that we don't even think are sin. We're not praying. We're not reading our Bibles. We're not spending time with God. Whatever sin may be in your life, maybe you hate your neighbor, maybe you're full of bitterness, unforgiveness. Maybe you're holding unforgiveness for someone who's hurt you. And we've all been hurt. All have been hurt. We're counting now the Omer. We're counting the 49 days until Shavuot. Shavuot was a time of release, a time of freedom, when God poured out His Spirit so that we could be set free from the sins in our life, that the Spirit would now be in us and lead us and guide us and direct us so that we would not be operating in the flesh anymore, but we'd be operating in the Spirit. So we're continuing to count. Are you ready? Are you prepared to be released? Are you ready to give up your captivity to the things that weigh you down, to the sins that weigh heavy upon your life? I ask you and I tell you, let us look forward. All of us, let's look forward to the end of the seven Shemitah weeks that we're in now, the 49 days leading to the 50th, leading to the Jubilee, which is taking place on Shavuot, when we can look forward to God pouring out His Spirit and an extra measure and a greater portion upon our lives. And the Lord is telling you, let the grave clothes that you're wearing be removed. Remove the grave clothes from your body and be set free. Be set free from the grave and sin and death. Let us walk in that newness of life that is in Yeshua, our kinsman redeemer. And I believe if you're seeking the Lord during this time, and that's what the seeking of the Omer is, we're seeking the Lord. This is exactly what the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, were doing. He said, wait in Jerusalem for the promise that I told you about. It was during the time of the counting of the Omer. And they knew every day to count leading up to that day of release. And they were counting. They were ready. And when that day finally came and they were gathered all together in that one room, it says that the Ruach, that the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it appeared like tongues of fire upon each and every one of them, and they spoke in other tongues or other languages. I believe that God wants to do the same thing in our individual lives and this corporate congregation. God wants to do the same thing. God wants to come in a mighty rushing wind upon each and every one of you in this congregation as we are now getting ready for that, and we are getting prepared for that as we're counting up toward that, knowing something is going to happen as the disciples of Yeshua did, as we are doing. We are coming to that 50th day, that day of Jubilee. Now, are you ready? Are you ready for the year of Jubilee in your life to be set free from all that's been holding you back, all that's been weighing you down, the heavy burden that's been upon you, the sin that's been eating you alive? Are you ready to lay it down on the altar? Are you ready to be set free? God is willing to do it. God desires to do it. We need to be seeking Him and searching after Him with all of our heart as we reach that day. You got 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And I'm not trying to make it seem like something mystical is going to happen. It's actually, a lot of it depends on you. Your willingness to lay aside the sins in your life and your willingness to seek and search after Him with all of your heart. And I believe with all my heart that if you do that in the next 2 weeks, you seek Him with all of your heart, all of your being, all that you have in your life, and you're praying and you're asking Him to remove those burdens, those sins from your life that's been destroying you and eating you up, that when that day comes, it will truly be a jubilee for you. It will truly be a time of rejoicing as you'll feel it just lifted off of you and gone. And you can take a breath of freedom, no longer a slave. Thank you, Lord. No longer a slave. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we praise you, O God. Father, I just want to pray now in the name of Yeshua that you speak into every one of our lives in this room today. Lord, prepare us, get us ready as we're continuing to count the Omer, Father. This is not just a Jewish thing, Lord. This is a God thing. This is what you are putting on all of us. This is a biblical thing. This Lord is leading us and directing us to a time of refreshing and freedom and cleansing, O God. Truly a time of jubilee in our lives, O Lord. Lord, in faith.